I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Think of the best food you've ever had at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Oh.
Now think of what you spent on it. Because, Tommy, eating out is very expensive.
Yeah.
Maybe it's crossed your mind. Why not? Why go out and pay for this amazing item when I can simply make it at home?
Half the price.
Yeah, because you could do it, right?
Oh, come on.
Well, one man decided he was going to do just that. And for him, and who anyone else, for anyone else that tries this, you are being dumb. You're hanging out in the break room. That's just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. So, Tommy, you were in Chicago last weekend.
Yeah. Wife's birthday. Yep. Took her out to a nice steakhouse one night.
And here's the thing, Kimmy. Despite the fact that he got to see his stepkids and it was his wife's birthday and all these things are happening, the first thing he tells me about when he gets back from Chicago was...
this unbelievable appetizer I had at the steakhouse.
An unbelievable app!
It was delicious.
Had to be fancy.
Oh, it was super fancy. It was double fancy.
Double
combo
fancy.
Plate. It was a crab meat avocado app. What? And I've been talking about it even before I went. Remember I told you?
Yeah, you did bring it up.
Like I kept bringing it up and I am dying to taste this thing. It looks delicious. Who don't like crab? Who don't like avocado?
Sounds good to me.
Can we just take a time out real quick? I'd like to use my first time out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could you have a douchier Tommy Mulay food than crab avocado?
Probably not.
No, it's like, hey, can I find the two mugs? Were they out of gravy over Fabergé eggs?
Oh, it's not like that.
Crab avocado?
See?
It's the... okay.
Crab avocado!
Is it like a ceviche?
Ooh, yeah.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
So ceviche, that's raw. That's raw fish.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's
like shrimp and stuff and like lemon juice.
So ceviche is raw fish.
You've had it.
I have never heard that word.
Ceviche.
Until just now.
Oh.
Yes.
Delicious.
That's what I was picturing in my head.
I thought he played first baseman for the Pirates. You were saying, I'm sorry.
Oh, where was I? Oh, so anyway. So
we were on ceviche.
So I'm looking at this. I'm eating this meal, and I'm going crazy for it, right?
Okay.
And it lived up to the expectations. And I go, I got to try this at home. So I'm looking at it. I'm tasting it. I'm figuring it out in my head.
Oh, so there's no like list of ingredients. Like you're just going based on taste.
It's easy.
Here.
He's raw dogging it.
It's easy.
Okay.
It's like making a salad.
Okay.
So I go home. I get into Wegmans, and I get my ingredients.
Okay.
And I get them all.
Chef Tommy.
Yeah. I get my avocado. Got my little remoulade sauce.
What a douche.
We already had a few things at the house.
Okay.
And then I got to get the big boy, the lump crab meat.
I hold off on the price because I want to get to that later. So you bring it home.
Bring it home. Put it together. Had some ingredients at the house that I didn't already do. Mm-hmm. Put it all together. Slice the avocado just like they did at the steakhouse. Slice it out. Splayed it out. Couple of tomatoes on the side.
Ooh.
Big lump of crab in the middle, served it up for an app.
Delicious?
It was good.
Just like the restaurant?
I would say I was pretty close. So my wife ate hers, and she loved it. And she didn't even get it at the restaurant. So she didn't have
anything to compare to.
No. And she loved it. She did have a little taste of mine.
Okay.
I said, you got to try it.
All right.
It was great. So the one problem is I use capers. You know, those little capers?
Yeah.
You know, they're like a little, I don't know what you would call them.
They're like stones for your bagel.
Yeah. But they're pickled.
Never understood them.
They're pickled. You have them sometimes with like salmon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we already had that, so we were good to go. So the next day, my wife says, did you look at these capers? Because they were on the shelf inside the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's what I used. I didn't use them all, so we still got some left. She goes, we got to throw them out.
Why is that?
I go, no, they can be refrigerated. They were a year out of date.
Ha!
A year?
You used year-expired capers.
024 capers.
They didn't, like, taste or smell funny?
I don't know, because capers are weird anyway.
Yeah, they're weird.
It's like,
little thing.
Yeah, it's one of them foods. Like, you can't really tell if it's good or bad. Because it's neither.
Not to mention, you already got a bunch of weird smells coming off this thing anyway between avocado, crab, and remoulade.
Yeah.
Ceviche.
So the one problem is I used an ingredient that was a year out of date.
Okay.
All right. So
that was fairly prominent in the taste of this food.
All right.
But you're okay. Everybody's good.
Well, so far, yeah. We made it through Easter. Hey, I beat the Pope on that one.
So, so what you're hearing now is a man that is lying without realizing he's lying.
What am I lying? I admit it. I used something I was out of date.
No, I get that. But you said, despite that, it was still fantastic.
It was pretty, bro, it's like making a salad. Okay, you can't make a salad.
You were so excited about this, right?
Yeah.
So excited.
And you know what? My presentation was pretty good.
Shut up.
You know I'm pretty good with the knife.
Shut up. No matter what it tasted like, you were going to say this was delicious.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there was nothing you could have done. Like, that could have been the worst food you've ever had in your life, and you were going to walk in here and be like, it was delicious, and you would believe in your
head. You know what they charge at a restaurant?
Okay. And that's what I'm getting at.
Triple the price. They throw it at you.
252-WCMF. If you want to try something like this at home, a delicious meal appetizer that you've had, you know what? I'm not going to pay for it. I can make this. I think there is one rule everyone needs to follow in their head.
Yeah.
There is a price you are willing to spend on the groceries to try it. Once you go past that line, it's not worth it. Tommy, what did you spend on the ingredients for your avocado crab appetizer?
Well, you know, avocados aren't cheap. But they're not crazy. You know, you get a bag of them for $5.
Sure.
The tomatoes, a couple of nice tomatoes. Yeah, make sure they're nice and ripe. The romaine lettuce for, for a nice bed and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the crab meat.
How much?
So for one container of crab meat that I guess was about maybe a pound.
Okay.
16-ounce jar. Right. Was $48.
$48 for just the crab meat?
Yeah. Yeah. But for two.
Wait.
Yeah, for two for an app. That wasn't even your main meal.
Yeah.
Soup to nuts, you spent $70 on all the ingredients?
No.
Bro, there's no way between all the avocados, the tomato, the crab meat, all the other stuff. That's $70 plus tax and tip. Got a tip, by the way.
I didn't get tipped.
Bro, you spent $70 to make an appetizer in your house.
And I used one ingredient that was a year out of date.
You're an idiot. All right.
But, you know, if you went out, you'd spend triple.
I got a rule. Yeah, but you could just not do it. What did it cost at the restaurant?
I never looked. Bro, it was an expensive night out. We don't eat like that.
Look, I have a rule. Anything over $25, I'm not even
trying.
What
kind of slop are you putting together for $25?
You should be able to make a $100 meal for
chintz.
You should be able to make a $100 meal for $25 if you buy the ingredients yourself. But here's the thing.
What?
If you're going to screw it up, or the odds are you're going to screw up this thing at home. Right?
Or it's not going to be quite the same.
Right, but good enough.
No. But good enough is not what we're shooting for here. Why would I waste all of that money to watch myself screw something up?
Well, I can't jet off to Chicago every time you want crab.
I was going to say, I mean, that's the difference is that, like, if I can buy it, I will. But if I have to make it because I can't buy the thing already made anywhere, then that would be the reason why you'd spend the money.
But think what else you could buy for $70.
You got a craving.
Well, like what?
Anything? There are very few meals in Rochester at the most fancy restaurants here that you can't get for $70.
You know?
But that's for two people.
No, it's an appetizer for two people.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a main. What was your main dish, you bitch-ass bitch?
Oh, I did some burgers.
Oh, I did some burgers.
It was pretty nice.
I did some burgers on a black star. Was a remoulade? Did you serve a ceviche? Douche. 252-WCMF. Tommy had this unbelievable crab avocado appetizer.
Yeah.
During his trip to Chicago, he wouldn't shut up.
That's all I could think about when I was going there, too.
So he decided to make it this weekend. Mm-hmm. You spent $70 on the ingredients.
The crab meat is very... Crab meat has always been expensive.
Yes, I understand.
And it's like, you know, but it's all out of the shell. Like, it's just the meat.
Yeah. I got it.
I think I bought a stack of crabs and cleaned them.
If you're spending over $25, you should not attempt anything at a restaurant because you're going to screw it up. And the fact of the matter is this, before you go to the phones, and you know this.
Right.
There is nothing you can make at home that tastes as good as something you had at a restaurant unless you are a legitimate chef with, like, industrial tools in your kitchen.
But you can get close, and some stuff's easy to whip up.
Nope.
No, you know what people must get duped all the time on?
What?
Is trying to replicate sauces. Like Big Mac sauce, Chick-fil-A sauce, like stuff that they don't necessarily sell on the shelves. Some of them they probably do, but I know so many people that have attempted to make they'll find the recipe and they make it, and it's just slightly off. It's not the real thing.
Mm. But again, if you're doing that, you spent $6 to make a sauce. Tommy did it with $70 worth of crab.
You'd be surprised because sometimes there's those weird spices that you're never going to use again in
turmeric.
There, so you got to spend
saffron.
$10 on
ceviche.
Yeah, Something dumb.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Eric. Hey, Eric, how are you, buddy?
Eric.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, it's Chef Eric. What's up, bud?
I'm not a chef.
Okay, you just go with it.
I'm a talented cook, but I'm not a chef.
And he's humble.
First of all, Tommy's an idiot. Capers are pickled. Just because they're out of date doesn't mean anything.
A year out of date?
That's not a big deal.
Why they put a date on it then?
That's a best buy date, not a it will kill you date. So relax. Second of all, okay, here's the thing. It is not difficult necessarily to recreate a restaurant dish at home. Tommy picked a bad one because crab is never cheap. It never goes on sale. It's going to cost you. But by and large, almost any restaurant meal can be recreated at home inexpensively, almost. It depends on what it is. What you have to worry about is the quality of your ingredients. It's some things are not going to be cheap.
You're this
That's
guy.
A given.
You're this
however,
guy.
However,
no, you're that.
Because because you're doing it at home, you will more than likely get more than one meal out of it. So,
okay,
cost benefit analysis.
There you go. Well, that's what I was trying to say. Cost benefit analysis. Is what I was saying.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I mean,
crunch the numbers. It works.
Eric, I know you've done this for a while. Like, you know, you brag about the stuff you make at home, you and your wife, and it's all exciting. But here's the thing. Like, some people just have a touch for this. Some people. I don't have that. Tommy doesn't have that. And don't pretend you do.
I'm Italian.
You know.
My name ends in an accent, man. I mean, I got some stuff going.
Ends in an accent.
Yeah.
Hey.
Ague.
Eric, I got to take some more calls, but thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Have him come by for advice next time.
Yeah, you can talk to Eric. All right, there goes
Eric. Oh, drive by Eric's house. Yeah.
He talks like a YouTube instructional video.
Yes, he does.
It's a cost analysis on a high. Give me your mics off. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I see you guys on hold. Mm. You realize the bad spot you put your wife in, right?
What do you mean?
Because she had to look you in the face and say, this is delicious, no matter what it tasted like.
Yeah. She didn't finish hers. I finished it for her. She said she was full.
Well, with the appetizer.
You did buy a lot of crab meat for two people.
It's not really a lot when you look at it. It's only 8 ounces a person. That's not a ton.
Did she have a burger afterwards?
Yeah.
So she wasn't full.
Well, I think she was full of the seafood.
Yeah. I know. She was full of something.
She's like a you. Like she's not a big seafood person.
Sure. No, I hear, Kimmy, that when something is super delicious, the polite thing to do is leave half of it for the man who made it to eat it. You effed it up.
I was happy to have it. I'll eat it.
Like, that's the worst part of this whole, because my wife is a fantastic cook.
Oh, yeah.
There have been some things she's tried and she's missed on. Mm. And, you know, we sit down and discuss it after, like game tape. No. But, like, having to muscle through something that is not fantastic because you don't want to hurt the feelings of your loved one is not fun. And I admire your wife for being like, you eat it.
Because
right. I don't have the balls. Like, Kimmy, could you look your husband in the face if he was all excited about making something and say, no, this is gross?
No. I couldn't do it. Especially if it was his first time making it.
And, you know, he was like, Tommy never gets excited about anything.
Yeah, I know.
I got crab meat.
I know.
Ceviche.
Yeah, I felt rich, man. I had all this crab in the house.
Oh,
it's like having like a diamond in the refrigerator you could eat.
Do you see yourself making it again, or was it a one-time-only thing?
Well, I'm going to make it again. I love it.
Okay.
We're going to save up a year.
Once
no, I'm
a year.
Serious. I ain't got that kind of I ain't got no crab money.
252-WCMF. Tommy recreated an avocado crab appetizer that he had on a trip to Chicago, and it was brilliant, and it cost him $70 in just ingredients. Let's talk to Brad. He's on CMF. Hey, Brad, how are you, buddy?
Duffy.
Yes.
You say that normal people can't cook. You've eaten some amazing stuff I make in a tailgate lot.
Oh, okay.
You've eaten stuff off my filing cabinet before?
I mean, okay, out of context, I know that sounds weird, but he's absolutely right.
Mm.
Yes, and look what I do in a tailgate lot with some old recycled metal, man.
But, Brad, here's the thing. I think there's time and place.
For what, tetanus?
Well, I don't think Tommy can cook at all, so, well, I mean...
Well, I don't have a big, fancy filing cabinet.
No, I think that there are things that are good in certain contexts. Yeah. Like, you know, Brett. Brett is right. He cooks with a filing cabinet, and I've had some of his food, and it is very delicious, right? But, Brett, if I went over to your house, and I walked in your living room, and you're like, yeah, we're making dinner on a filing cabinet here, it's not going to have the same feel. Same with the stuff that I make that I'm very proud of at the tailgate. Like, if I did that at home, outside of the context of a parking lot...
It's the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's not the same. You don't agree, Brad?
My family asked me to bring the filing cabinets back from Buffalo to make dinner on them.
Yeah, but you got a sad family, Brad, with all due respect.
Oh, thanks, Steph. Thanks.
Brad, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. There goes Brad. You get my time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If I went over to his house and he's got a filing cabinet on fire in the backyard and goes, hey, we're eating in a few minutes, I'm out.
And I mean, look, I know we're all guilty of this, right? Like, we all go out and buy grills. We buy those fancy, air fryers or
pizza ovens,
sourdough, whatever, right? Like, we all want to believe we can do it. And I guess there's nothing wrong with trying it and saving money.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the same.
No, but it's a fun hobby you can get sick with.
How many times do you give it before you give up trying to replicate something? Is it a one and done, or are you going to keep trying it until you nail it?
Because, well, you got to work it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You got to get it down.
But, like, eventually, like, if it doesn't happen, you just keep tinkering around, or do you give up?
Yeah, I think they plow through.
Well, I would say, like, if you got, like the Blackstones became a big hit last year, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of guys, I'm sure, started to experiment doing breakfast, things like that on there. I think you got to give it a summer.
But again, with the
one summer run to get it down. If you don't have it down by August, you got to move on.
But the Blackstone, it's also a lot of simple stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's just a big frying pan.
Yes, eggs, potatoes, like the rice, what do you call it, hibachi?
That
was fun.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not complicated stuff.
No.
This, what you're describing, you know, there's little nuances of that dish that makes it worth what it was that you, you don't even know what the word nuance means.
It means different.
It's the opposite of ceviche. 252 WCMF. Let's give it up for one final call, a man who knows his way around a kitchen.
Oh, who's that?
Jeremy's got the last word on CMF. Jeremy, how are you, buddy?
What a weird string of calls. You got the first guy talking about his taxes and food, and you got filing cabinets, and now me telling you that capers will sour and will taste awful after a while.
So wait, you're telling me we have a caper controversy in the break room?
You have a caper. Oy, that was rough.
Boo!
Yeah, you ain't lying, buddy. Chicago's an expensive place to eat.
It's, you know, it's the crab capital of the Midwest.
But I think Tommy actually paid more to make the dish himself than he probably paid at the restaurant.
Yeah, it's fair.
I mean, because they'll buy crabs, either they'll buy whole crabs and clean them themselves, or, you know, buy lump meat in bulk.
Or they'll hire Tommy's mom part-time, you know, any way to get it inexpensive.
Yeah, never mind. I'm sure it was great, though. You know, by the sounds of it, I mean, restaurants just use way more salt and way more fat than you would in your kitchen. And that's how they make stuff taste better. That's really about it.
All right.
I mean, the ingredients aren't that dissimilar that you can get at Wegmans or a place like that. So,
Jeremy, let me ask you this. You know, you worked in kitchens for years and years and years, according to what you say. Is there a menu item that you cook that you brought home that you still cook on a regular basis that you love?
Ribeyes. Yeah, ribeyes on the grill. It's pretty simple and straightforward. A little bit of either blue cheese or some compound butter on it. You don't make it difficult.
Damn.
Salt and pepper, throw it on the grill. 5 minutes each side. That's done.
Good. Done. There's your Jeremy. There's your Jeremy tip of the day, along with capers will sour. Jeremy, thanks, buddy.
Going, Tommy. I appreciate the effort in it. It sounds good.
Thank
All
you.
Right, the rest of you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy. Sour caper Tommy.
You know what, one last thing, when you do nail it, now you're going to, I think you're going to start to make other new things, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
step
once
up
you get that
bit.
Confidence that you nailed that one fancy dish, more's coming.
No, you're right. It will always end in disaster because you'll never know when to say when. It's like going to a casino.
Okay. So I should not do sushi night at my house? Because they make those kits now.
He's
you can buy them at Wegmans.
It. He's going to do it.
You can make your own sushi rolls.
You can just go to Wegmans and buy sushi.
No, but it'd be fun to make them at home. And sushi's very expensive.
So are the ingredients.
I'm guessing making it is also expensive.
Okay. It's just raw fish. It could go wrong.
I say go for it.
Yep.
I say go for it.
All right.
Can't wait to hear about it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies. Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been years, Tommy, with no solution to this problem in the city of Rochester.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been for lack of trying.
Mm-hmm.
But everything up to this point they've tried has not eliminated the dirt bike ATV issue on the streets.
So you say they came up with something?
Well, they're trying something new, both the cops and the city themselves.
Oh.
Something that, when you think about it, this is legal? You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We will jump right into it.
Mm.
The efforts to stop illegal dirt bike and ATV use in the city of Rochester, they've been there.
Yeah.
They've been trying. The RPD has set up special detail to write tickets. They have confiscated vehicles and fined the hell out of the people who were using them illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And although it has taken those off the streets, there are still folks out there running around being dangerous. And as the warm weather shows back up again.
Oh, yeah, it's cycle season.
The city has decided to try something new and more extreme.
Oh, yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Story on 10NBC says Mayor Malik Evans laid out this new plan. First offense.
Yeah.
The rider is fined $500.
Oh, God damn.
And must prove that the bike or ATV is theirs to keep it.
Mm.
Every offense after that, the rider is fined $2,000 and the city keeps the bike or ATV until they pay up.
So they confiscate.
Yes. And it seems that if they don't pay, that bike or ATV is getting destroyed.
Right.
To quote the mayor, quote, "The choice is simple. You can either make it street legal or they will be scrap yard ready."
Damn.
It's big guns time, buddy.
You ain't kidding.
And look, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the frustration of the city having to deal with
it. These kids are getting hurt.
You got it. There are other people. You are putting people in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of these things. Like, all of that is valid, and I get why you're here.
Yeah.
But I do have one question.
What?
This is legal?
To confiscate and destroy?
Yeah.
Well, they said if you don't pay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how it works with everything else. I thought when they seize it.
Is it? Okay, no, let's talk about that.
Because, like, remember they used, like, they would seize things in, like, drug raids and stuff like that?
But that's just it. That, so, what I was under the impression, and if I'm wrong, please tell me, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I was under the impression that the stuff they seized and auctioned off was used, was bought
was
using
involved.
Money.
Right.
Okay. Or bought using money that wasn't theirs.
It was
therefore,
connected, it was connected to the crime.
You got it. Like, well, no, because these would also be connected to a crime. What I'm saying is, like, when they auction off a Lamborghini, I was under the assumption that was bought with cocaine money, so it wasn't their money in the first place.
Oh.
Blah, 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 blah. You get what I'm saying?
Well, is that why they have to prove that it's theirs? Because you said they won't get it back unless they can prove that it's theirs.
You got it. First one. Yeah, if this is a stolen bike or ATV and you can't find the owner, that makes sense. Destroy the thing, fine. Okay, I get it. Turn it into scrap. But if this is their bike or ATV.
But it's been impounded because you get a fine. You don't pay the fine.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's now theirs?
They said that it's going to be scrapyard ready. That's the impression I'm getting.
Okay.
So, like, if they tow your car because it's parked illegally or something, and you don't pay to get it back, does it just sit
I
there
I thought they
forever?
Auction those off eventually.
Do they?
Well, like, to your point, like, if they had
like
a
what
car,
happens
you
to
didn't
it?
Like, you abandoned. I thought those things either got auctioned off or if they were garbage, they just junked them.
Have you ever heard of anyone losing a car?
But I know guys, people that go to those public auctions run by the, like, cities and stuff and score, like, boats and stuff like that.
So I thought, again, that was used with illegal money or those were people who had, like, their car stolen, insurance paid out. They found them later.
Maybe.
And that's when they auctioned them off.
Know.
Again, I'm not entirely sure. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Mm.
I am not saying this is a bad idea, and I'm not saying it's an unnecessary idea. But if these bikes and ATVs are owned by these people,
right?
Like, you know, if it's stolen, it's one thing, fine, right? But I was unaware that the government could, like, take and destroy something you actually own.
Well, they gave you enough time to pony up to get it back.
Oh, you're saying it in the wrong voice.
Oh, I'm supposed to
say they gave you enough time to pony up!
Son of a bitches! Yeah, I guess you don't want to put them back. You don't want to resell them because they'll just end up back on the street.
Okay, so put a pin in that. We're going to loop back around there. But I don't know, man. Like, it makes me wonder what else.
Oh, there's probably some stuff.
Right?
Well, I mean, like, if you don't. I mean, look, they can seize your house if you don't pay your property taxes.
Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, no, because I guess I am breaking the law by not paying my property.
If you don't pay your property taxes, they can take your house.
Yeah, but there's like a
whole... And then they'll sell it. They'll sell that on auction.
No, I understand, but there's a whole political, fringe political party that is anti that.
I understand.
Right? I've never heard anyone be like, and again, I'm not anti this.
And it's very extreme, you know, when it comes to that.
Does happen, though.
Oh, sure. If you don't maintain your property, they can throw you out.
That bothers me.
Well, you can't run like a crap hole.
Run a crap hole?
Yeah.
You're running a crap hole over there.
Your family's been known to run some crap holes.
No, but again, I paid for this and I pay my taxes. Who are you going to tell me what I can and can't do with
it? Well, yeah, but you had to maintain it because you get disease and filth.
Okay.
It's dangerous.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Maybe we get educated today. Okay. All right, so again, the city of Rochester and the Rochester Police Department announces together over the weekend new rules with the ATV and dirt bikes in the city. First offense, the rider is fined $500, must prove the bike or ATV is theirs.
Mm.
Every offense after that, the rider is fined $2,000.
Yeah, think about that. You've already spent $500, yeah. You're backed out jackassing.
Well, yeah, but again, man.
Malik ain't messing.
Everybody thinks they're going to get away with the stuff that they get in trouble for.
Mm.
But the most shocking thing,
yeah.
If they don't pay, city keeps the bike or the ATV until they pay up, and I'm going to read you a quote again. Right. Quote from the mayor. The choice is simple. You can either make it street legal, or it will be scrapyard ready, implying they're going to destroy these things. 252-WCMF, let's talk to Salt.
Mm-hmm.
He's on CMF. Hey, Salt, how are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
What up?
So I was reading, maybe it was a different article, but they had a long, long detailed thing at the bottom about it. Like it's kind of like a cliff note about it.
Okay.
And they said that, one, if you can't prove it's yours, obviously, you know, it goes to the scrapper. But also, they are seizing these other bikes that are coming from places in and around the county that are selling them illegally.
Okay, so I was going to get to that. Let me catch everybody up just so we're aware. In this story,
yeah.
It says that there are businesses in the city of Rochester. They specifically talk about one on Hudson. They were a cell phone store that started selling bikes and ATVs instead.
So it's like there's like a black market for this stuff.
Yeah. I guess it would be a black market, right. Even though, to Salt's point, they're selling them out of the store. They don't have a license to sell
these
things.
So this is like completely like...
Yes. So they're not paying the taxes. They're not paying the registration
backdoor
fees.
Deal.
They're just buying like a, you know, like the Facebook Marketplace My Motorcycle, supposedly.
Yeah.
Damn.
But like, think about this. Yeah. And what a weird. Hey, Salt, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Think about this. The city had a business on Hudson Avenue.
Yeah.
That sold cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They completely changed their business plan.
Yeah.
That's how popular.
Yeah. The cell phones are now just a front.
Yes. Well, no, it's not even. They were selling them straight up.
Oh, yeah. So, like,
from what I understand.
They weren't, like, pretending to be a cell phone store?
Where would you keep the bikes and ATVs?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somewhere. I mean, you could still keep them in the store, but just have a cell phone.
Well, yeah, but if you got windows.
Yeah.
That's a big-ass cell phone with four tires on it. But, yeah, I mean, like, think about that. They completely changed their business plan because these things have become so popular.
And they can score enough bikes to make a business of selling them.
Yeah, the city has is now trying to shut them down.
Yeah.
And they're going after other businesses like this.
Okay.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Kevin. Hey, Kevo, how are you, buddy?
Not bad. Hey, I've been to those auctions in the city years ago. So they get the, you know, all the cars that people have left parked too long and that kind of thing. And then if somebody doesn't claim them, they do auction them off.
Okay.
It's usually the ones that nobody would want. I wanted to see what the opportunity was, and you know, it's the $100, $200 cars that nobody went and claimed.
So do you do
on
you,
the side of the road for
do,
too long?
Do we know how long they give it before they auction them off?
I think it's like 3 months in the impound.
Okay.
But
man, if you're broke, you're under the gun there, huh?
Yeah.
they usually do the police car auctions at the same time, and then they do whatever cars they have left, and then if you get one. There's not much you can do with it because you don't have the title to it, so you've got to go through a big, long process to get your title. And you don't really find cars there that are nice enough to bother with the process is what I found.
I didn't think about that. You wouldn't have a title of the car, so you just scrap it?
You got to go get another title for it.
You might as well be a junk dealer to take those cars is what I found.
All right. That's what Kevin says. You're a junk dealer. Kevin, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
No problem. Have a good one.
There goes Kevin. Okay.
If there was a guy's voice that represented going to a car auction, it's that voice right there.
I trust Kevin.
Yes. Well, yeah.
You know why? Not only do you have to register as a buyer, they also make you swallow a handful of pebbles. It's true.
What are you talking about?
Come down there, I'll mutilate you. Okay.
Yeah.
So you brought up the whole not wanting to put him back on the street.
Yeah.
There's another thing in this story.
Mm.
Kimmy, last year we had a story mm-hmm. that said the city of Rochester was auctioning off the dirt bikes and ATVs. Do you remember talking about that? Okay. Well, now the city says they're not auctioning them off.
I guess
off.
Maybe they just found that they just ended up back in circulation again. Right. So,
and that seems that's the reason why. But that makes it kind of more painful, this whole situation. There is money to be made by the city auctioning them off, mm-hmm. right? And here's the thing. By running these special details and all the work that they're going through, they are spending more money to stop this. Yeah. So you may be able to offset the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Even further, to destroy these things, you have to pay to destroy them.
Yeah, you got to take them to a junkyard.
Okay, so that costs money unless you're getting the money back in scrap. Would it be weird to move these to other cities and auction them off there?
But they're probably having the same problems. Those cities don't want them either.
What about more rural areas?
Oh, Colorado?
Again, though, it doesn't mean they can't.
Wyoming?
Work their way back.
Well, let's say, like we can even keep it in New York State. Let's say you confiscate 10 ATVs and 10 dirt bikes.
Send them up to, like, the Adirondacks.
Yeah, the North Country. I mean, look, there's, I don't know.
They probably all have their own stuff up there, you know what I mean?
I understand, but there are kids being born every day in the North Country without a dirt bike.
I don't want your soulless city motorcycle on my Christian yard.
It does seem like a waste, though.
It does.
Right? Like, there has to be another way to get these out of town.
Like a poor country that needs motorcycles just for transportation.
Well, think about how much it would cost to ship them overseas. Yeah.
No, but it would help those countries.
So you're going to donate them.
Think of, like, India. Okay. Poor country. A lot of people. You see a lot of motorcycles, bicycles. They could use them.
That sounds really expensive to, like, get them there.
Oh, you could use them, too?
Who?
Cuba.
Are we on good enough terms with Cuba where we're giving them dirt bikes?
I don't know.
Either way.
You know, we just drop them off at the beach, no saying nothing.
No, but like, why could you not throw these in a truck? Buffalo, right. Rochester, Syracuse.
Take them to the country.
And then take them to the country. Would, right. would they make their way back if you did that?
I don't see why they. I mean, they could.
But how many motorcycles does the country need?
Because what if somebody buys them and just puts it back up on Facebook Marketplace? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they'll just
so
go
many
out
ways
there
you
wait.
You just sell them yourself.
Yeah, they'll go down there, buy them at auction, and drive them right back to the city. Yeah.
Okay, but okay.
That's why you put them in India.
No, but like, think about this, man. I maybe I'm wrong here. And again, we're all trying to learn about this as we move along with these ATVs and dirt bikes. I was under the impression that most of the folks that had ATVs and dirt bikes were using them because they didn't have cars.
Around town? Here?
Yeah, so in the city.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Maybe it's just a fun toy thing you have, but I thought it was kind of a legitimate way to also get around.
All right.
So if they take that from you, how you going to Clinton, New York to go get yourself an ATV and bring it back?
No, but a guy can start a business of just scoring them and bringing them back and selling them cheap.
All right, here's what we do. Here's what we do.
What?
All right, we run a pilot program.
All right, clean operation.
All right, you mark the ATVs and the dirt bikes in a way that you would only know.
All right.
You bring them up to the North Country.
So we take them out to Union Springs and sell them.
You got it. And if they find their way back, you now know that was a bad idea.
All right, so we mark them.
Yeah.
All right. A secret mark.
Well, just put it, like, dismantle
invisible it. Invisible
ink. You can dismantle it and spray paint a part of the bike that doesn't get moved.
All right, okay.
Am I wrong?
I mean, that could work.
Just to see, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean. And
see where it ends up.
And if it shows back up being
the migration of dirt bikes.
Well, I can't, I don't know.
Well,
you know,
there's a pattern.
It would be interesting to see how far it gets.
If they are selling them in bodegas in the city, that would indicate to me that most people are buying them in the city or the greater Rochester area.
Yeah, but where are those bodegas getting them from?
Facebook Marketplace, like Salt said.
Okay. But that could come from all over, like all rural areas.
I mean, how much? Rural is a hard word.
Rural.
No, but I mean, like, you know, profit is what matters here. Like, the money I'm going to spend in gas, the equipment I have to get it back, how long it's going to sit in my cell phone shop, right? Like, maybe it's not worth it if it's all the way out in the Adirondacks.
Okay.
Fort Drum.
So you want remote area?
Well, just where they would be, where there's space for them to roam. It's like taking your dog to the farm.
Like wild Mustangs.
Wild dirt bikes. Keep coming back here.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This worked for the initial chain restaurant that tried it.
Oh.
And I get that this food is delicious.
Yeah.
Right? That's this chain restaurant that's trying the same thing.
Mm.
But it doesn't seem like something that works for this promotion.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break. We're Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Over or late last week.
What happened?
Red Robin announced out of nowhere that they were selling a limited edition bottomless burger pass.
So all the burger you want.
Nope, not quite. Here's how it works. The $20 gold card, which was for sale, you present it at the restaurant. And every day of the month of May, which is National Burger Month, that entitled you to one burger and one side of bottomless fries a day.
So I get 30-something meals for 20 bucks.
Is there 31 days in May?
Something like that.
All right, so yeah, for the whole month of May, every day you get a burger and bottomless fries.
That's a pretty good deal.
Right. It's a lot of french fries.
So here's the thing. If you're looking to do this, unfortunately, the pass is sold out immediately. In fact, they were so popular that their website crashed the second that they put these things
on
sale.
Man, all those fat fingers trying to get in there.
That being said, it's probably a good thing that you didn't get the card if you didn't get it.
For your cholesterol?
Well, look, man. No human. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't.
But there are people that probably eat a burger and fries every day for lunch.
A burger a day.
I told you, I worked with a kid, God rest his soul. Every day he ate two Big Macs, two large fries, and a big old Coke.
Now
he was a kid.
There wasn't any break in that.
Imagine I can remember. But it was 5 days a week.
How would that work, though? I always wonder when people buy these things for whatever restaurant, you would always have to go out to eat alone because it's going to be awkward that like you're not paying for the meal, but the person you're with is.
I think if you're willing to eat a burger a day for 30 days,
you're always
fine,
gonna go
you're
alone.
Fine going out alone.
You're a lone wolf.
And by the way, that's the goal of this thing, not only the promotion, but the idea is, yes, they're giving away a free burger, but you're going to bring your family with you multiple times. You're going to make their money back. Okay, so here's the thing. Olive Garden does the unlimited pasta pass,
right,
which is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you get sick of faster? A burger and fries every day for a month or pasta every day for a month?
Well, pasta is so – because there's so many ways of serving, but you can get your pasta.
Different types of pasta.
But there's also different burgers at Red Robin.
True, but I don't know. I mean, do you only get a standard burger the same way every time? One slice of cheese?
No, it sounds like you can get a burger off the menu, whatever it's there.
I would like that burger.
So you go with burger?
Yeah, because it's more valuable. And who doesn't love a good burger, man?
Kimmy, burger or pasta every day for a month?
I don't know if I could get sick of pasta.
I'm with Kimmy.
You go pasta?
I like burgers more.
But the fry, but you also get the french fries.
But I've never tried to eat a burger every day. I think there were a couple times, especially in college, where I was just eating noodles.
You were poor.
And she'd giggle like that while she said, I was eating noodles.
Just noodles in a different jar of sauce every day. Stretch that as far as it could go.
I mean, they're both delicious. But burger's more high end to me, to your point.
Wait, really? Then sitting at a fancy Olive Garden?
A plate of noodles with some sauce is nothing.
It's a Red Robin. It's just meat on a bun.
Yeah, but it's an elevated burger. It ain't a drive-through burger. It's a sit-down with a bar in it burger.
Okay, look, Red Robin. I like Red Robin.
It ain't fast food. It's above that.
Sure, sure. Right. But I would argue that if you're talking fancy, that Olive Garden is a classier meal than a Red Robin meal.
Well, but you don't want. Do you want fancy or you don't want fancy?
Well, no. His argue was, it's a classier experience.
It's a more valuable.
Gotcha.
I said it's more valuable.
Okay. No, I would also disagree with that because I could take my. If I were to take my wife and say, "Where do you? We're going to go to the fanciest chain restaurant for people go to anniversary dinners, graduation dinners at Olive Garden. You don't see that happen at Red Robin. Nobody's having a Red Robin wedding anniversary.
Maybe they should.
Okay, I'm not. Let me ask you a question.
That's it.
All right, you got two people standing outside.
All right.
Moose and Billy Kidd.
All right.
Billy Kidd tells you he took his wife to Olive Garden for their anniversary.
Yeah.
Moose says he took his girlfriend for their anniversary to Red Robin. Who's more sad?
So, all right, burger's a little lower end for a date.
I rest my case.
I would just love to be able to eat french fries for a solid month.
And unlimited french fries,
too. That's what I'm saying.
Bottomless french fries. Here's how they get you. They only give you a handful of french fries now. And you got to be like, can I get some more french fries? And it takes time for them to go get the french fries.
Really?
Yeah, by that point, you're just full.
So here's the key move. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
When I order my burger, I politely ask, can I have some french fries before my burger?
So you jump on it.
I jump on the fries up front.
All right.
Look, I came
here. So you pile them in up front?
I came here for the unlimited fries. I'm getting my money's worth.
I think in Fat World, they call that a front loader.
Well, it's funny because they have a whole appetizer menu. And I'm always like, if I can get the fries now, what do I need the appetizers for?
That's
I don't
true.
Need an onion ring tower. I just need my fries.
Damn.
252 WCMF. Late last week, Red Robin surprisingly put out a $20 gold card that gave you a bottomless burger pass, one burger and fries every day of the month for the entire month of May for only $20. The second it went live, their website crashed. That's how popular it was. They are all sold out, but it's a similar thing to the Olive Garden unlimited pasta pass.
Yeah.
All right, Kimmy, you can pick whatever food you'd like, chain restaurant.
Okay.
$100 pass, you can guarantee you can get it. You eat it every day. What is it going to be?
Chain.
We're talking Red Lobster. We're talking Texas Roadhouse. We're talking Olive Garden. We're talking Red Robin. Maybe I'll throw in a Bahama Breeze.
Oh.
Does Chili's count?
You wait, of all of them, you're picking Chili's?
I love me some Chili's.
Do we have a Chili's even in town anymore?
I don't know.
Is it in Greece still?
It's been a while. Yeah, there's one in Greece still.
The Lone Chili.
Baby back. No, I thought there was. We said this before and somebody yelled at us. Is there one in Victor too?
There might be.
I think there's one in Victor. Because I said there were no more Chili's and then Chili's fans freaked out.
Yeah.
All right, what are you getting at Chili's?
You
got to pick an item. You got to pick an item.
What's their one? Oh, I thought I was getting the whole menu.
What kind of
what's their signature dish?
Baby back ribs. Do they still sell those? I love my baby back, baby.
I don't know. I feel like I always got something different. All right. That takes that out then.
Oh, for God's sakes. It's like asking my wife what she wants to go for dinner.
Yes.
Well, there's so many options. I've never thought about this before.
You just got to pick one.
One single meal at one restaurant.
Or like one item, like pasta or burgers or ribs.
Well, probably be pasta.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have the same frustration as Sunday night, where are we going to eat right now? All right, chain restaurant.
Yeah.
One item of food. Where are you going?
I'm going steak. I'm going Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse?
Oh, yeah.
One steak a day for 30 days?
Big, fatty steak, delish.
What's more dangerous? Like, if you were to take the pasta, the steak, the burger, or ribs?
Me, health-wise?
For your health. Like, long-term, the last thing you should eat every day for 30 days.
I'm going to say red meat. Because red meat always makes those lists of things you shouldn't do every day.
Okay. But think about the butter and salt and fat and all that, like linguine.
Oh, true. But you get, but all that, you get all that and red meat on red meat. Because you're getting salt and butter and all that on that meat.
You're probably right.
Oh, man, that would be delicious. So. And they have a ribeye steak every day.
And you'd have to get sick of a ribeye steak.
No, you're like
every
a Texas billionaire. I say, I do declare.
You know what else I could
Southern eat? Methodist University's winning the national championship.
I would literally change my name to T-Bone. T-Bone Tommy.
I think I could eat Chipotle every day.
Okay.
What are you going with cheap ass rice bowl?
I just enjoy it. I never get sick of it.
Man, you can get that meal literally around the world on the street.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Every street has a rice bowl.
Yeah, but I could do it. But I wouldn't get sick of it. Like, that could.
Yeah, but it's chintz.
Well, we asked what she wanted.
I don't know what you want.
You want a steak. Finish that steak.
Now I feel like it's like my dad telling my mom what she wanted for dinner when I was a kid. Here's where we're going and what we're going to do. Ah! Facebook message is coming in. Oh, my God. This is the grossest one.
What?
Rick said, I would go with fish fry. You want a fish fry
every day?
For 30 days?
Man, the amount of tartar sauce you would ingest.
It would be coming out of your pores.
Yeah.
Not to mention.
But you also get french fries.
Okay, you could just go buy french fries.
I know.
That's not the crux of the meal here.
But you're getting fried fish. I mean, it's a delicious meal.
I think fried
food
every day would be tough. You think you want it until like you're doing it every day and then it's going to feel heavy.
Think about, too, you would smell like a fish fry for a month.
Yeah.
Every day. Ah!
Could you do a sub every day? Like a DeBella's sub.
But I get to switch out my sub?
Yeah, but every day for a month.
Yeah, I could do that.
You get a 12-inch sub.
Yeah,
and a bag of chips, right?
That might be the best one.
And a drink.
Yeah, you nailed it. Because that's like being a kid again. You just get a sandwich a day. Yeah.
But it's a big-ass sandwich.
You don't have to eat the whole thing.
No, you got to eat it.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I will eat it.
Finish that goddamn.
Got to finish it, otherwise it doesn't count.
Eat that sandwich.
Yeah, I think that's actually the best one to choose, a sub a day for 30 days.
Yeah, you could switch that up a lot.
Ooh.
Damn.
Maybe some tuna, maybe some chicken fingers. How about a Reuben sub? Ooh, I'm in.
Ooh, Reuben sub.
I like it. Man, the corned beef at Bella's,
Oh, it melts in your mouth.
It's hot corned beef. It's delicious. I'm telling you, corned beef not used enough on submarine sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'll die on that.
Mm-hmm.
Christy writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. You can get us, easiest way to get us. I actually got the Olive Garden 7-week pass years ago. I could go to the restaurant and with take-home meals. Four meals included, salad or soup, and breadsticks, drinks included if you dined in, $400 for 7 weeks.
Damn. That's a lot of food.
You didn't get, did you get sick of it?
Because you got take-home.
Yeah, like that's the other thing too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's one thing to have the experience of going out, but now you're eating cold Olive Garden.
Gotta taste so good that when you remember it's in there.
Yeah.
Like when you wake up in the middle of the night, you know that that mofo's
spaghetti.
Like parked right there, ready to go.
You parked that linguine in your fridge.
You know what I mean.